Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Let's read 629.
Sarva Bhuta Samatmanam.
Sarva Bhuta Samatmanam.
Sarva Bhuta Nichatmani.
Sarva Bhuta Nichatmani.
Nitya Yoga Yuktatma.
Nitya Yoga Yuktatma.
Sarvatra Samadarshanam.
Sarvatra Samadarshanam.
Sarva Bhuta Samatmanam.
Sarva Bhuta Samatmanam.
Sarva Bhuta Nichatmani.
Sarva Bhuta Nichatmani.
Nitya Yoga Yuktatma.
Nitya Yoga Yuktatma.
Sarvatra Samadarshanah.
Sarvatra Samadarshanah.
Translation of True Yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And the purport: a Krishna conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, the Supreme. Situated in everyone's heart is the Super Soul, Paramatma. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesher Junatishtati. The Lord, in His Paramatma feature, is situated within both the heart of a dog and that of a brahmana. A perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by His presence in either a dog or a brahmana. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but He is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows: Atatatvach cha martavach cha cha atmahi paramohari. The Lord, being the source of all beings, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother, He is neutral to all different types of children. The Supreme Father or Mother is also. Consequently, the Super Soul is always in every living being. That was, sees Krishna within, now sees every being in me, seeing Krishna in every being and seeing every being in Krishna. Got it? It's like being inside the room and the room being inside you. Well, that's not exactly like that, because it's a different feature of Krishna, to see all things in Krishna, and Krishna in all things. So, next paragraph. Outwardly also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord, as will be explained in the 7th chapter. The Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual, or superior, and the material, or inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. The living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in Him in one way or another. Paragraph. The yogi sees equally because he sees that all living entities, although in different situations according to the results of fruitive work, in all circumstances remain the servants of God. While in the material energy the living entity serves the material senses, and while in the spiritual energy he serves the Supreme Lord directly, in either case the living entity is the servant of God. This vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. And then the next verse is, the one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So one is vision, then another is relationship. In the beginning verses of the ninth chapter, this is expressed again, and Krishna calls it his yogam aishvaryam, his mystic power, where Krishna can simultaneously be within everything and not within everything. Everything was within Krishna, but not within Krishna. I call it the Upanishadic double talk. You know, because the Upanishads have many similar things. He is walks, but he does not walk. He's very far away, but he's very near as well. I like that. He's in everything, but he's not in everything. Everything is in him. Yes, it's like whiplash. Because his position is beyond the mind. The mind is a binary processor. Children know this one. There's a light switch on the wall, and there's two positions, on and off. On and off. And on means it's not off. And off means it's not on. It's either in computers. I don't know about computers, but I'm told computers are binary. It's a one or a zero. And computers are just a systems of ones and zeros somehow. And so you adjust things and you get this result, and you adjust things to get that result just by the ones and zeros. And it's just, you know, it's a very complex network, but a combination of the binary processor. And then you can make computer programs. So the mind is also a binary processor. It's either this or that. And it can't be this and that for the mind. But Krishna can be both this and that. Like bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest. But not, he's not vacillating back between being really big and really small. He's simultaneously both. From Mahavishnu's body, universes, at least the seeds of universes, are streaming forth with his exhale. How big is the universe, and how many universes, and how big is the body of Mahavishnu? He's bigger than the biggest. And yet at the same time, as his expansion of Shiradakshayi Vishnu, he enters within every atom, every particle of matter, according to when Purport Prabhupada writes that the term atom in Vedic language, it's the smallest divisible particle of matter. Whatever that is, that's an atom. And Krishna is inside that. Smaller than it's the smallest atom, and Krishna is smaller than the smallest. He enters inside that. And he's both at the same time. Now, we for us that's not possible. Even to think of it is not possible. You can think of something, try to think of something so big, or try to think of something so small, but simultaneously think of something so big and so small that it's beyond the capacity of the mind. Andantarasa paramanu chayantarastam, in the language of Sri Brahma Samhita. Bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. So, there are many other ways of indicating Krishna's yogam aishwaryam, his mystic power, simultaneously. So here, as well as in the beginning of chapter 9, he's within everything, and everything is within him. So like, you know, for us, we're in the room. And to say at the same time, we're in the room, and the room is within us. Well, excuse me, but the room is not... It's not possible. Physically, it's not possible. But using Krishna's... In one sense, because his potencies are everywhere, because his potencies are everywhere, and we are situated within his potencies, we are within him. Now, how a Gaudiya Vaishnava deals with that is, this is making, in that particular case, it's making emphasis upon the oneness of Krishna's energies with him, because simultaneously his energies are different from him in a number of ways, but one of them is he's the energetic and the energies are energies, so the energies are not energetic, they're different. But they're one because you don't have energy without energetic, and you don't have energetic without energy. They're one. And they're different. But just in the oneness sense, his energies are everywhere, and we're situated within his energies. So, everything is within him. And he is within everything. It's just another feature of Krishna. Another feature of Krishna is, as Paramatma, he expands within everyone. And he's not only within me, and he's within you, and he's within everything that's living. And in fact, he's within everything that's inanimate also. He's everywhere. That's one of the all-pervasive aspects of Krishna. His Paramatma feature is everywhere. His energies are also everywhere. So, he's within everything, everything is within him. His Paramatma feature and his potencies. He's everywhere and everything is within him. And the third, this is now yogi, Krishna conscious yogi. He sees everyone equally. Samadarshana. Samadarshana, the indication is given here. Krishna is within the heart of a dog. And Krishna is within the heart of a brahmana. So obviously, the characteristics of a dog and the characteristics of a Brahma, not only their features, what they look like, but in all respect, their behavior and their quality, etc. What they're interested in. Dogs are interested in one thing and Brahmanas are interested in another thing. So they're different. But the Krishna conscious yogi sees them from a spiritual aspect or perspective, sees them equally. I mean, interact with them differently, but sees them equally in the sense that there's a soul within, and the soul is completely pure, and there's a super soul within, and super soul is within the heart of both of them. And so respect for the super soul indicates then also the respect for the place of residence of the super soul. Respect for life. Naturally so. And that's how they see Krishna everywhere. And then the next verse is when for such a person, Krishna is never lost to them, and seeing that regard that they have for Krishna, he also feels attached to them. Nor is he ever lost to me. This is Bhagavad Gita chapter 6. We take the same idea and we go to Srimad Bhagavatam canto 9, where Ambarish Maharaj was offended by Durvas Muni. And what happened? You know the story?
Yeah.
What happened? Sudarshan Chakra came to do. You had a whole drama about this. Were you in that drama? No? Okay, so real quickly, Durvas Muni. I'm a Brahmana. And here's this king that's honored more than me. So he was feeling a little envious of the king who's supposed to be like down here. He's up here. He's honored more than me. Didn't like that. But he was traveling with his entourage and came to the place where, in fact, when we're visiting in Vrindavan, there's a place where Maharaj Ambarish was observing his fast, Dwadasi, Akadasi fast, and breaking the fast on the Dwadasi. It was in Vrindavan. Did you know that? Yeah, it was in Vrindavan. He was a Krishna Bhakta. Ambarish Maharaj. Anyway, Durvas Muni came by on the Dwadasi day of the final observance of the Vrata, and Ambarish was very happy. How auspicious! Such an exalted Brahmin as you have come. And it's just time to break the fast. Please, you break the fast first. I'll break the fast first. But I must take my bath before I break the fast. So I'll go to the river Jamuna and take my bath, chant my Gayatri, do my morning duties, and come back. But that took too long. It was the time to break the fast was about to pass. And those of us that observe Akadasi and break Akadasi and the Dvadasi, it's important to know what that sandhi, what that interval of time is between Akadasi and Dvadasi, and that's when you're supposed to break the fast. Because if you don't, the benefit of the fast is not received. Just like Nanda Maharaj was captured by the followers of Varuna for taking his bath at the wrong time on the Dwadasi day. They did their calculations wrong and he did them right. But in any case, it's important we break the fast at the right time. It's important to observe the fast, and it's important to break the fast. So, the purpose of this extensive Ekadasi, year-long Ekadasi Vrata, was as the king to bring benefit to the citizens, because when merit goes to the king, the citizens share in a portion of the merit that goes to the king. And the other way around. If the king is impious, then it's shared by the citizens, a portion of it. Like that. So, he was interested in giving benefit to his citizens. That's what kings do. Good kings. So, he had to break the fast. But Maharaj Ambarish, or Durvasa Muni hadn't come back. What to do? So he asked the Brahmanas, what to do? And the Brahmanas said, no problem. You can break the fast and not break the fast at the same time. We know a trick. You did Abhishek for your deity in the morning. Take a few drops of Abhishek water in the palm of your hand and sip, and you're breaking the fast and not breaking the fast at the same time. Okay. Oh, very good. So he did that. Durvasa Muni, being very much in touch with Super Soul, he wasn't a Krishna conscious yogi, but he was a yogi. He didn't see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna, but he was very much tuned into the Super Soul channel. He could understand. Super Soul gave him the understanding. Ambarish Maharaj broke the fast before you. And so he went back angry and cursed Ambarish Maharaj. You should die, you sip water. What an offense. You sip water. You should die. He kind of lost it. And created a fire, took some pieces of hair, dashed them to the ground, chanting some mantra, and created a fiery demon and told the fiery demon, kill him! So the fiery demon followed Durvasa Muni's instruction, except standing by the side of Maharaj Ambarish was who? Sudarshan Chakra. And Sudarshan, Maharaj Ambarish didn't even have to say, stop him. Sudarshan Chakra went to work right away and finished the fiery demon. And then turned and faced Maharaj, or Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni ran as fast as he could. And he ran, he could run very fast because he had mystic powers that fast. Really fast. But Sudarshan kept up with him. And when they made it all the way to the abode of Lord Vishnu, who, by the way, is the same as the Lord in the heart. Did you know that? In this universe, as in with each of the universes, there's one planet that's the abode of the Supreme Lord. And when this universe is destroyed, that abode of the Supreme Lord isn't destroyed. That's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam too. So that abode where the Supreme Lord resides within this universe is called Swetadweep. Dvipa means island, and Sweta means white. So the Supreme Lord resides in the white island, or it's a spiritual planet, the abode of Shiradakshai Vishnu. The abode of Shiradakshai Vishnu. And you know that Shiradakshai Vishnu who's in that abode? He's the same one who's in your heart. Just like in the pastime with Dhruva, when Dhruva was a little boy doing his austerities, he's seeing the Supreme Lord within his heart. And that same Supreme Lord within his heart was visited by the demigods. But not within Dhruva's heart, but same Supreme Lord in that spiritual abode that's within this universe. Swetadweep. And they were suffocating because when Dhruva was controlling his breathing, the incoming and outgoing breath were suspended. It was in such a powerful state of trance, it stopped the flow of air throughout the whole universe. And the demigods were good breathe. So they went to Lord Vishnu. I can't breathe. He said, don't worry, he's just a little boy doing yoga down on the earth planet, and I'm going to go visit him very soon and everything will be alright. So he then appeared before Dhruva, and that meditation on the Lord of the Heart stopped because there he was standing in front of him. Same. Bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest at the same time. And he can sometimes appear like this and sometimes appear like that. No problem. So when Durvas Muni went to that abode of Lord in Swetadweep, appealing, help! I've made a big offense and I didn't understand what a great devotee Maharaj Ambarish was, and please accept my apology, and not only that, the Sudarshan chakra, it's your chakra, please tell him stop. And what did Maharaj Ambarish say? I can't. I'm not independent of my devotee, because my devotee has surrendered everything to me, and therefore I'm fully surrendered to him. That same idea is being expressed right here in the Bhagavad Gita. It just isn't in a whole lila form, but it's the principle. Vishnu said to Durvasa, the devotees to consider me to be everything. They're completely attached to me. So I'm completely attached to them. It's the nature of the Lord and a relationship with him. When we repose everything upon him, he's not, oh, now you've got it together. Very good. He's a person who will become so moved by that devotion that he places himself subservient to his devotee. Unless Ambarish Maharaj says, it's okay, I can't stop Sudarshan Chakra. I don't have the power to do it. Of course he has the power to do it. He has the power to do anything. He has the power to do anything. And one of those things he has the power to do is place the fullness of his free will at the disposal of his devotee. He can do that too. It's called love. He's bound by the love of his devotee. And the devotee is bound by the love of him. And that's mystical. I mean, it's mystical in the sense that it's not like the attachment that people have in this world to something or someone. Attachment to their money, or attachment to their dog, or attachment to a family member. We have that mixed. The pure devotee has it unmixed. And that's surrender. When we were in Mayapur, one of the devotees was speaking about the importance of devotee care. That's just a little blurb from Mayapur. By the way, don't let me forget, I brought some Mahaprasadam from Mayapur with me. So I'm sure you won't let me forget that. So while we're in Mayapur, one of the things that we did for 8 days, there were about 1,000 leaders from around the world. And that's a lot of leaders. Africa, China, Japan, a lot of them from Russia. Anyway, all over the world. And one of the things that we did, it was called the International Leadership Sangha. We gave it an acronym, ILS. And Jita Krishna from your neighborhood here, he was there attending. There were presentations on work that has been, major part of it was presentations on strategic planning efforts that had been developed for the previous, 6-7 years. Groups of devotees, sometimes 25-30 devotees, coming together 3 times a year, and otherwise, besides together, having their own conferences and, ways of exchanging information and developing things for the benefits of society. So one of those is devotee care. Our devotees in Canada, when we meet in North America, the Canadian leaders and the United States leaders come together, so we call it North America, North American leadership. So the Canadian devotees decided this is the year of devotee care. So they had 15 representatives from Canada whose assignment was to learn all about what the ILS is doing about devotee care, bring it back, we're going to do it in Canada for 2014. That was they're really organized. We didn't have such a good plan for US. So one of the devotees making this presentation on devotee care was describing a very nice pastime. We'll get back to Bhagavad Gita, but a very nice pastime from Ramayana where Vibhishan comes with his 4 associates and wants to take shelter of Ram. And you know the Leela. The associates of Ram were not so trusting of Vibhishan after all. He's Ravana's brother. He's been living, in bad company. Even he may be a good person. He's got his motivations. You know the whole thing. He's probably thinking, Ravana's going to lose, and so better be on the good side so I can become king after my brother is deposed. Or something. He's got, better watch out. Check him out carefully, Ram. And the description was, this is the devotee care. One who surrenders unto, Ram replies, one who surrenders unto me, I give him shelter. And there was a detail, I don't recall all the details, maybe another time we can share that, but the four brothers represent, the, according to Sri Vaishnavism, four aspects of surrender. Two is what the devotee does, and the other two is what the Lord does when he sees that surrender, which is similar to here. This is the yogi in this case is, you know, just a yogi, like Durvas Muni was a yogi. But this is a Krishna conscious yogi. This is Ambarish Maharaj. Because Durvas Muni wasn't seeing Krishna everywhere and everything within Krishna. He wasn't even seeing Krishna. Period. He was a yogi, but not a Krishna conscious yogi. But Ambarish, he didn't go do his, you know, yoga asanas and everything. But what a yogi! When that fiery demon came at him, one of the passages in that Lila that I like very much is, neither did his body move, nor did his mind move. So here comes a fiery demon. And you just, I mean, he's a kshatriya. You're going to do something. I mean, you just drive reflex. You're going to defend. One of the four animal propensities, defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You're going to defend. He didn't. He's a kshatriya. Amazing. And not only that, his mind didn't change. Ah! Your mind changed. It's something. Death is coming. His mind didn't change. How's that possible? It's not possible. Unless you're Maharaj Ambarish. Unless you're on the platform of a Vaikuntha resident. According to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Maharaj Ambarish is of the characters, of the characteristics of unalloyed devotion. He was Shuddha Bhakta, a resident of Vaikuntha. So what, a resident of Vaikuntha has no anxiety, because they're in Vaikuntha. That's what Vaikuntha means. No anxiety. Here comes death. No anxiety. Ah. We're very attached to, you know, this body. It's our instrument for enjoyment. It's me. And death means I'm dead.
But it's just gone.
Yeah. But so you can't imitate. I mean, you can try to imitate, but you can't imitate the standard of devotion of Maharaj Ambarish. He was fixed. So fixed that the Supreme Lord felt completely indebted to him. He's given his everything to me. I give my everything to him. And that's the reality, the platform of reality of Maharaj Ambarish, or the devotee that's being described here. And then there's the Krishna, from Krishna's side. He's never lost to me, Krishna's saying about such a devotee. Krishna never forgets. He's not like, oh, I've got too many devotees to keep track of everybody. You can exist or not exist, it really doesn't matter. I'm too busy. That's not Krishna. He's for one who becomes attached to him, he's attached to them. For one who's fully surrendered to him, he's surrendered to them. One who gives everything to him, he gives everything to them. That's the Krishna conscious yogi. That's what this verse is describing. Just read. This is text 30. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere. And he sees everything in Krishna. That's the previous verse. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love for Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna. In the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated. Of course, the souls aren't annihilated in any case, but the sense of danger that causes defense. It's gone. Because I'm in Krishna's care. I'll end just with a little description of the sense of being protected by Krishna. I was in India once, and speaking in the morning on the Bhagavatam verse, which describes the position of sanatha and anatha. So what does natha mean? Like jagat, natha. Natha means? Lord of the universe. Jagat natha. So, sa-nata means one who has a Lord. And anatta is one who doesn't. Prabhupada was describing those who have taken shelter, they're sa-nata, they have a Lord. They're serving Him. And He, in turn, cares for them. That's the kind of Lord Krishna is. And anatta is one who doesn't. They're an atheist, or a materialist, or, you know, someone just bewildered. Anatta. So, I was going to be speaking on that verse. I had read the verse and went for a japa walk. And I was on a university campus. And it was early in the morning, real quiet, you know, before all the hustle and bustle. It was really nice. Like those morning walks. And as I was walking, you know, you kids don't know, but your parents know. There's street dogs in India.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know. Yeah, okay. So,
did someone get his head chopped off?
What?
You saw a dog get his head chopped off.
You saw a dog get his head chopped off. Well,
I got run over.
Okay, so, at night, dogs are very territorial. So they get like, there's a bunch of dogs, they get together, and somebody comes along, this is my territory, get away from my territory. Like that. So I was walking along, and I saw coming the other way was a professor with his little white poodle on a leash. And he was walking along. In the other hand was a cane. A cane, a stick. So when one of the street dogs saw the little meal there, that little white dog, puppy poodle, and then all five of them got up and, you know, charging, and, you know, their tails and their back of their neck and showing their teeth. Look at this, I'm going to get you. So the professor very calmly picked up the dog, put him under his arm, and showed the stick to the other dogs. And the other dogs looked at each other, looked at the stick, went back and laid down. And little white poodle, his tail is wagging like this, and he's licking the professor's face. He's completely calm because, you know, Professor Master is taking care of me. I don't have to worry about those guys because there's this guy. So one is anatta and the other is sanatta. One who has protection and shelter in Krishna has a loving relationship, and that with that loving relationship, his all-powerful master, no problem. No problem. There's problems, but there's no problem. I mean, it depends. If you forget Krishna, there's lots of problems. And if you remember Krishna, there's no problem. I mean, you're taken care of in that sense. There's a problem. You have a body and it's a problem. It's without listing the problems. There's a problem. I was with one young man having lunch today, Brooklyn Temple Govinda's restaurant. And he was describing, what it's like being a bachelor, Krishna conscious, trying to be Krishna conscious bachelor. And I really like hearing and chanting, and sometimes I feel, a little lonely, and I like devotee association. I feel it. I need to be appreciated. I need recognition. I know it's not like the best thing, but it gets me fired up when I get it. And anyway, he was just like being very honest about his situation. And I said, don't worry. Life will get complex real fast. And then you'll have another kind of problem of feeling, why am I in this relationship with these people that I, don't appreciate me, and married life. So right now, especially, it's a great opportunity for hearing and chanting that you may not have time for when you're busy doing all those other things. You find, I don't have time for hearing and chanting. Or not. Anyway, so make a nice, strong spiritual foundation. And that's what we should be doing. At whatever the stage that we're beginning or taking up, it can be like you guys, early, young stage, or somebody else who's later, at whatever stage, try to establish a nice foundation of, as we're doing on Friday evening with your Bhakti Viksha gathering, hearing from Bhagavad Gita, seeing how it applies to you, and then applying it to you, bring it outside, inside. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grananti Sadhavaha. You hear and you chant, and then you internalize the message of Krishna consciousness. And then live your life from that position. And then as that cultivation goes on, you'll see Krishna everywhere. You see Krishna within everything. And you'll see everything within Krishna. And you'll feel very secure in your relationship with Krishna. The circumstances around you may be, more desirable, less desirable, or mixed. Usually it's mixed. Sometimes it seems to be more on the less desirable side, but there's a mix. It's always. But if you don't lose track of Krishna, and Krishna's not losing track of you, you can carry on acting in your relationship with Krishna, trying to the intelligence and ability that Krishna gives you, serve him nicely, and feel very satisfied in being situated in your mood and position of loving service to Krishna. It's a very wonderful way of life. And the destination is Vaikuntha. by Vaikuntha consciousness in this life, one attains Vaikuntha.
For sure.
And Krishna says that same thing in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He's always with me. Always. He is situated in me always. Without a doubt. So that's the attainment. Progressively, as we become more familiar with and attached to Krishna, his personality and his wonderful qualities, and the way that we can structure our lives that makes more harmony between us and Krishna, can spiritualize our lives by understanding these messages of Bhagavad Gita. It's sublime way of life in a very toxic atmosphere, or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, surcharged with opposition. You can count the ways that there's opposition in this world, and you'll never end up completing all the opposition ways, difficulties that there are in this world. Focus on the difficulties and you'll have a full-time engagement. Tolerate those things. See that they are for what they are, but certainly they're temporary. And by following the process of bhakti yoga, one can gradually cultivate the ability to see and be in touch with Krishna at all times. And then you're in that sanatha position. You're under Krishna's arm, and you're tail is wagging, feeling very happy, and maybe Krishna will let you lick his face and he'll pat you on the head and everything is alright.
We don't have tails.
Yeah, so then you can just smile. Just smile. Okay, any questions, comments, anything? I'm surprised I made it, you know. I just came in from India yesterday. Not only came from India, I came from Singapore to India to Doha to JFK. And when I left the house where I was staying, it was 4:00 in the afternoon in Singapore, and I arrived at 3:00 in the afternoon. I was, you know, traveling for 23 hours. And here I am. I made it.
Thank you. Adventure.
But I was sleeping in the car on the way over here. I'm sure I'll be sleeping in the car on the way back. Jet lag is pretty intense. I'm amazed at you, but I'm happy to be here with all of you. You have something?
Yes.
Yes.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
We always try to understand the material energy.
In the which?
The material and the spiritual energy of Krishna. Both are the same energy of Krishna anyway. So one is inferior, or we say the spiritual is superior. So when the people are on the bound by this material energy or inferior energy, some way or other they entangled with it and they continue with it for a long time. So Krishna also says that in the 4th chapter, Mama Vartamanu Vartande Manushya Partha Sarvashaha, everybody follows my path one way or other. So the question is like this, so how we differentiate that, or how we need to keep that in mind, that we should get away from one of the energy of Krishna, that is inferior energy, and we have to go to the superior energy of the Krishna. So why we have to be, you know, more conscious about the superior energy, and how the material we can overcome this Etymology and
that's what we've been speaking about, isn't it? It's by the process of bhakti yoga. That's how to. Starts with hearing and chanting and associating with devotees. Taking prasadam. Having kirtan. Engaging in sound vibration. That's of the spiritual nature. I invite you, you like philosophy, so I invite you to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, verse number something like 29 or 30, where it's fundamental principles of material nature. Kapila Deva is describing the unfolding of the elements in the Mahatattva. And the first one is sound. And the purport is the answer to your question. But sound vibration creates everything, material or spiritual. One who hears and chants or vibrates material sounds develops material things. Prabhupada gives examples. Like a skyscraper building. The elements are already there, but they take shape according to sound vibration. And conversely, or at the same time, if we hear and vibrate spiritual sounds, all of the necessities for our spiritual well-being are generated by that sound. So, therefore, hear and vibrate spiritual sound. That's how to. We're in contact with this energy or that energy. We're advised, with good reason, to contact the spiritual energy. The material energy contact and attachment is like this, and the other one is like that. Take your pick. We have minute free will. Choose the spiritual energy, and here's how. So, but it all begins with hearing. Before we just got here, we heard something. And that's why book distribution is so important, because people that are not here can get a chance to hear through the recorded message. Recorded kirtan. And their convenience of their own home. But here. And from that hearing, then more hearing. And from that hearing, more hearing. And cultivation of the process of hearing and chanting. And then grananti. Not just say, talk about, then do something else, but mold your life according to that and understanding those teachings. And it's going to happen gradually, incrementally anyways, even if one's not so attentive, but do it attentively, and it's very effective. That's the how-to. Sound vibration. Just like in school. You have a teacher in your classroom?
Yeah.
And a teacher talks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're supposed to listen, not talk. Yes? Sometimes when they call it, right. But it's by sound. Material education and spiritual education. By sound. Anything else? Yeah? Yeah. What'd you do to your hand? Made a mess.
Nothing.
Nothing, okay. So,
is Krishna away from spiritual energy, or
Krishna is not away from spiritual energy? Krishna, his whole abode is Sat Chit and Ananda. His whole atmosphere, everything is completely spiritual. He's not alone, devoid of spiritual energy. That answer your question?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a Prabhupada story.
Okay.
In the very beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada wanted, just like in his own Bhagavatam publication, he wanted artwork to be created by his disciples' artwork to illustrate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like, you know, the visual presentation helps understand the verbal or oral presentation. So he wanted the artists, he wanted an artist to start painting paintings of Krishna, but they didn't know anything about Krishna. So what they did was, an artist named Early Dar, you know, award-winning, multiple international award-winning paintings he's painted. Fantastic artist. Anyway, he shared the story with me that they would gather posters, they would go to Indian stores and things like that and gather posters and show Prabhupada the posters and ask Prabhupada, is this bona fide? That was like the language at the time, is this bona fide? So they brought different posters, and basically the criterion was Krishna's never alone. So sometimes you've probably seen, there's some posters of little baby Krishna, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful features in a cloud.
What?
In a cloud. Although the face may look very nice, Prabhupada would say, that's not bona fide. Because where are the cows? Where's the river Jamuna? Where's the cowherd boys? Where are the peacocks? Krishna's never alone. Not bona fide. So there's an answer to your question.
Oh.
Krishna is never alone. He's surrounded by his potencies and his loving devotees, always. Very natural. Okay. Anything else? It's 9:25. We'll end. In schedule it says japa.
Yes, one round of japa.
Huh?
One round of japa.
One round of japa. So let's do our one round of japa.
Before while we passing, let us say three times Hari Bol to Maharaj for a wonderful class. Say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Maharaj, despite of this difficult tight schedule, Maharaj took time to come here and to enlighten us and bless us. Please take this opportunity as well. Maharaj brought some prasadam from Mayapur. And please have this. This advice, of course, from Gauranga Maharaj.